We don't even ask ourselves, what do we mean when we say that somebody is thoughtful? We don't mean thoughtful of himself. Everybody is thoughtful of himself. The expression goes, as I think about myself, who else will? So we begin to pray, and we put in our minds the thought of God. And when we say segregation from worldly thoughts, when we start praying, well, you've got to stop thinking about what we either were thinking before we started praying, or place God into our minds and then talk to Him about what's on our minds. But we must put God in our minds. There are so many elements here. This, by the way, is part of a graduate course. And I did not have the time limitations when I made this chart that I have now in Ann Arbor. So we don't cover all the elements here. There are 3 plus 10, 13 plus, my gosh, plus 13, 26. Then with the body, plus 12. Won't be able to cover, you follow my thinking. No way I can cover all of these elements. I'll do the best I can, but I thought I would give you an overview of preparation for prayer and just touch on those parts which I think are especially important or useful for all of us. Why is it important? First of all, we gain merit before God by putting aside other thoughts when we start to pray. God is pleased that we stop thinking of something else and start thinking of Him. There's merit. Secondly, the mind becomes more free. More free. It wouldn't be free at all unless I decide to put God on my mind. I don't even begin to pray. Is it possible to pray, say vocally, the rosary, without being conscious of whom we're praying to? Is that possible?
Yes.
Sadly, yes. That's why I tell people when they come into church or chapel, and by the way, do all the churches you know still have holy water?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy. Keep that holy water. I tell people to dip their fingers into the holy water, make the sign of the cross, and then make a moment's reflection on the fact you're coming into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's very important. People can be at Mass 1 or 2 hour service and not realize in whose presence they are. Then, the more we put away, and we got to, as you know, keep putting away, you don't just tell our mind, now, enough of that. Now you're going to start thinking of God. The mind says yes. Before you know it, we're back to where we started, thinking of something else, otherwise known as distractions. How to do it? Plan beforehand. Prudence. Plan your prayer. When you're going to pray. How long you're going to pray. What you're going to pray for. What are you going to pray about? And this is true of both mental and vocal prayer. Be specific. St. Ignatius, in training his followers, tells us to have what he calls a contemplation of place, a specific place, say in the Gospels, that my imagination is specifically, say, at Nazareth with Our Lady, or at Bethlehem with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, or on the ground as Our Lord is giving the Sermon on the Mount. Be specific, have specific thoughts. And that is why there's a growing movement, as you know, part of the New Age mania of praying without thinking. That is not prayer as the Catholic Church understands prayer. Some of these mental outline. I'm speaking here especially of mental prayer. Remember, we did talk about mental prayer. And one of my hopes from this course, I guess we can call it, that you're taking, is that you will at least have begun to practice mental prayer, which is very simple. It is thinking of the presence of God. But I know in whose presence I am. I make my mind aware of it. And last night, though it meant retiring well after midnight, I made sure that I prepared for our classes here today in Ann Arbor. And I did so, just for the record, before the Blessed Sacrament. This is real. So that I anticipate what I'm going to pray about. And if it's vocal prayer, what vocal prayers I will say. And one of, again, St. Ignatius' strong recommendations is, teach the people, as I'm trying to do to you, teach the people to not just keep year after year reciting vocal prayers, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Memorare, the Hail Holy Queen, but periodically take time out to reflect on the meaning of the words you are using. That doesn't mean you're going to go into, well, a theological speculation when you pray. But it does mean then, and God knows it, you will put more meaning into your words because your mind has been enlightened and deepened in grasping the underlying what we call intelligibility. What a difference between, say, two people in conversation, both using words. The one person knows what, say, he's talking about, and the other doesn't. When we talk to God, we should know what we're talking about. He appreciates that. And the effort we make beforehand to understand the meaning of the vocal prayers that we use, the more effective it'll be our vocal prayer and the more pleasing to God. Associate the meditation with real life. I've told you about this. Cultivate the habit. Oh, I am praying, I mean it. Asking our Lord through these classes, not because of this sinner, to strengthen with this yokel who happens to be speaking to you. Really, as Augustine says, the real teacher in the spiritual life is not a human being. It is Jesus Christ dwelling by His grace in our souls. It is God. In other words, during the day, don't just sit or talk over the telephone or write or drive a car or cook a meal. Now, this is an art. But interweave whatever you're doing with an awareness of the presence of God. We find ourselves, no matter what we're doing, talking to ourselves, right? Not simple. Won't happen overnight. As you already have the habit, which I hope and pray you do. But cultivate the practice of associating during the day, whatever you're doing, with God. For example, I had a telephone call last night at 6 o'clock. Went down to dinner at 5:30. Engaged in conversation with my brethren at table. Kept looking at the clock. 7 to 6. 4 minutes to 6. I made the mistake of taking hot coffee and didn't put enough milk in the coffee. It was very hot. 4 minutes to 6. Yeah. We tell our Lord, Lord, this coffee is hot. Does that make sense? You share everything with Him. And the Word is everything. Don't just, pardon me for bringing you this example. It's not in my notes, by the way. It's hot. God is always thinking of us. He's always talking to us. What He wants us, before He calls us into eternity, to be thinking of and talking to Him, as far as with His grace, we can verify the other, always. Pardon me, He loves it. Relate to the liturgy. Think of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, even though you're not in chapel or church. And one of the great blessings of my own religious life is how many times I've told Him, Lord, there are problems today You know better than I, but You're under the same roof with me, or I'm under the same roof with You. Yeah, the reserved Blessed Sacrament in our Jesuit residence. Identify with immediate needs. Now you see, I am concentrating on mental prayer. I am doing that because even in vocal prayer, the rosary, at Mass, we're not just to be using words. Our mind and heart should be in what we're saying. We don't have to be thinking of the words when we recite the Lord's Prayer. By now, we can say it in our sleep. And doctors have told me, some people, well, when they're under anesthesia, they recite prayers. It's kind of nice. Just that our minds and wills are alive and associate that with everything in our lives. The soup is good. Tell the Lord, this is good soup. Thank you. Associate with others. And the more trouble people cause you, the more difficult they are in your lives. By the way, thank God for such people. I mean it when I say it. I mean it. They are the dearest graces in your life. I mean every syllable of that statement. Sometimes in teaching the theology of grace, I ask my students, if I've asked you already, are all the graces from God pleasant? Are there painful graces?
Yes.
Sure. Now, don't you dare go back and tell your husband. Jim, I never realized you are the most painful grace in my life. Ask three questions. What, why, and how? Lord, what do you want me to do? Don't spend too much time on the why. There's one word that covers all the possible answers we can give to why. And that is love. Why should I do this? Because I love you, and you want me to show how much you love me. We say things are hard. All right, that's why. Look, everything in the world, in the natural order, is meant to symbolize something in the supernatural order. We speak of a hard nut to crack, of a window that is hard to open, or I don't drive a car. Some cars sometimes be harder to start. Okay, see. Or the colder the weather is outside, the harder the ground is. The very word hard or hardness is meant to symbolize something. It means we've got to use more effort. We've got to use more of our will to do what needs to be done. Great. That's why God, we don't even analyze. When we say things are hard, we don't mean it's a hard nut or a hard rock. We mean that it takes more effort on our part to do it. Great. The more effort, the more merit. The more merit, the more grace. The more grace, the more happiness in heaven. How's that? Thank God for the hard things in life. And console yourself, it won't last forever. And the how? It's important. Now you know what God wants, but how He wants us to do it. And this is where we need guidance. We need prayer as we're talking about it. But remember, in asking the questions, ask questions of what and the how. God may give us the answers directly in prayer. But often, more often than we realize, we may have to, I'm sorry to say this, we may have to ask somebody else. And then, for example, as a Jesuit, I'm a devout obedience. Nothing in my life as a member of the Society of Jesus cost me more than obedience. I needed to talk to my superior last night. Kept a mission for something. I had him in theology as a student. I don't think he'll mind if he sees this tape or hears the audio. I know more theology than he does. But my faith tells me, as a fruit of prayer, that if I want to know what God wants, I have to ask my superior. Otherwise, I shouldn't have become a religious. Sometimes, see, the Lord will tell you in prayer, Lord, do you mean it? You go back to prayer. Comes back with the same answer. All right, Lord, all right. Segregation. Less of content, more of presence. Meaning what? Notice I'm using the word segregation a second time. Segregation means separation from the crowd. There should be in all of our lives, I mean in all of our lives, every day, times of solitude. Times of segregation from others. Times of silence. Separation, segregation, solitude, silence, for us. We all need it. And the more busy we are, or we claim we are, the more we need this. I mean this from the depths of my heart. We need time for God. We need time with God. And for some people, this can mean a reexamination of our daily schedule. It may mean weigh the relative value of the things we're doing when we claim, I can't find time. Make it. You don't find time, you make it. Do you hear me? You make it. For the most important thing we have to do on earth, what is that? To be in the presence of God, to talk with Him, and remember, so He's always talking to us. It's when we pray, hear it. It is when we pray that we listen to Him. And what a difference between hearing somebody's voice and listening to what that person is saying. We need it. Get up earlier in the morning. So what? Stay up later at night. So what? I've been in chapel too often after midnight, walking up and down to stay awake, to spend some more time with the one person who is the one who really matters, except for whom none of us would exist, and for whom we were all made. Edward, segregation. Notice its presence is an awareness. We can have other things that God in our minds when we're praying. But then we relate whatever is on our minds to God. I know I'm in conversation with you people. And I've got to be conscious of you. I can't be looking at this side of the page, otherwise I wouldn't be reading anything. I've got to know what I'm doing. But there's such a thing as doing what we're doing, and at the same time living. I mean this, living in the presence of God. And we cultivate that by chiseling, if necessary, strong verb, chiseling time out of every day, and we are consciously and deliberately alone, we and He, in conversation. Be practical. In other words, talk to God about the things that are on your mind. I'm not sure I've ever told you this story. Pardon me for keeping an eye on the clock. I was in the Jesuit order 5 years. Finished my philosophy and was sent to teach ancient history to 4 classes of freshmen in high school. Ancient history. They were bored to death. So was I. Every month we were to report to our spiritual father, a famous seismologist in his day. He asked me, how are things going? My first, conversation with the spiritual father since he began teaching. He said, how are things going? Great. I'm bored by the subject, but I love the challenge of teaching. 30 lugs in class. They don't want to listen to me. But I make them listen. But the trouble is, at morning meditation, 60 minutes in mental prayer. I said, Father, my problem is, all I'm thinking is about that bum in the back of the classroom cutting up while I'm talking. I cannot pray. I'm just thinking about all the things, that happened during the day. I've never forgotten. I share this wisdom with you. Have you thought of praying about your distractions? Say that again. Have you thought about praying about your distractions? Well, the next morning, I told our Lord, Lord, you know who that is. And because I was talking to the Lord, and I was alone in my room, I could use a strong language. I was talking to Him. Honest. The hour went by without even my realizing it. Gee, this is great. That's number 10. Be practical. Get down to earth. Pardon me. If you get down to earth, that's where we are. Learn discernments. That's a whole course by itself. In other words, the GS stands for the good spirit and the BS stands for the bad spirit. And the GP stands for good persons and the BP stands for bad persons. Now the good spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit. The bad spirit, of course, is the devil. And both spirits are constantly at work in our lives. And the devil, by the way, does not excuse himself when we're praying. Oh, no. He's right there. The time of prayer was a wonderful time for being able to distinguish, discern between two different kinds of thoughts and desires in my mind. Are they from the good spirit or from the bad spirit? Because depending on what spirit those thoughts are coming from, they will produce different effects in my mind. And with this, we'll have to close. It's almost time. But if you don't mind, we'll continue this on March the 1st. However, in general, round number 11, in general, if we sincerely want to do God's will, we are weak, we fail, and we sin. But our habitual intent is to do the will of God, and we mean it. Then, here's a basic norm. When we find ourselves, therefore, that's our disposition of soul, being worried, or anxious, or discouraged, or depressed, if we have lost the peace of mind we had before, always, that's the other, always suspect the devil at work. In other words, the good spirit, or GP, good persons, encourages them. What else would you expect God to do? And what does the good spirit do with bad persons? GP. What else? It'll cause them problems, difficulties. Otherwise, they would never get back to their senses. We call them pangs of conscience, don't we? Somebody living an evil life and then meets with some tragedy. Great. That's wonderful. Just with a person needed. To get, pardon the grammar, to get woke up. And the evil spirit, that's the BS, bad spirit, just the opposite. For the GP, the good persons, cause them to worry, get anxious, discouraged. Why? To let up. There is such a thing as becoming weary in well-doing. Such a thing as being bored of practicing virtue for so many years. And the devil is really clever in instigating these temptations. And conversely, the evil spirit with the bad people. My friend, don't worry. God is good. Life is long. In other words, to keep the person who is in sin, in sin. I cannot tell you how important this is in our prayer life to anticipate what we're going to do and see what reaction the anticipated thing we're going to do has on us now. Hope I'm clear. What I anticipate doing, say, tomorrow, I'm leaving this evening for Peoria. Be there for 2 full days. Anticipate in prayer what we're going to be doing. Then watch the reaction in our souls to more clearly understand, be able to distinguish between the good spirit and the evil spirit operating in our souls.